Hi there and welcome to Global Heart Church. I'm Jared Keane, the Senior Pastor, and wherever you are tuning in from around the world today, really, really hope and pray that in our planning of this message that it's going to really inspire you for the great journey that you are on and for the great calling that you have in your own life. So enjoy the message and really pray that it's a blessing to you today.
Morning, church. Hello. Muli buangji, muli buangji. You can say bueno, it's good. You can take your seats. No, I'm not going to speak in Yanja this morning. It's okay. I only just know a few greetings, but thank you for having us here. Great to be in church this morning. And just before we start, we'd love to just honour and thank Pastor Jared and Sue, who I know aren't here today just with sickness, but just would love to thank them. And really, Lisa and I can't speak highly enough of our incredible senior pastors who gave us the opportunity to go, but also for the last 22, 23 years, or 24 years for Lisa, have inspired us, encouraged us, taught us, mentored us, helped us. And we are not the people who we are today without their guidance and their love and pastoring. So can we just honour our senior pastors? And I also just want to do a cheeky plug for Pastor Jordan and Bianca, your new campus pastors. Pastor Lisa taught Pastor Jordan when in what year? How old were you? When he was six, five or six, something like that. Grade five? Grade five, and I was Pastor Jordan's youth leader, so we've got some stories about him. And it's nothing short of a miracle that he's your campus pastor now. No, I'm being cheeky. But I definitely felt back in Australia this morning when Pastor Luke and Pastor Jordan, during the child dedications, said, "Happy birthday, mate," to a two-year-old. Yeah, happy birthday, mate. I was like, gosh, I really am back in Australia this morning. Just recalibrating this morning. Got to get my language back. So, g'day, church. How you going? So, I feel like I'm back in the zone now, which is good. So, but church in Zambia is going great. We love what's happening there. It's such a move of God which is going on. And I'm sure you would have seen some photos, but there's just some photos on the screen of what's been happening. We're very excited. The start of the year has actually been quite challenging across Zambia. We had an outbreak of cholera, which affected a lot of families and thousands of people, and hundreds of people died from that. So there was a really challenging time. And then straight after that, there was a drought. So the drought really affected, it was declared a national emergency, and a lot of crops were affected. And obviously that's people's livelihoods and that. So without the lack of water, it's caused power issues. So then we've just gone back to load shedding, which is the power's turned off for 8 hours a day. And in some places it's 12 hours a day. So it's been a really challenging start to the year for many people in the country, but it's not the case for the church. And the church is thriving, the church is flourishing, the church is growing, and we're seeing so many people get saved, so many people respond to Jesus, and also just come and be a part of the church. Our starting point, which is for all of our new people and new Christians, that is just flourishing and thriving. And we had to make a decision. We had to buy 20 extra chairs, which we thought would just be for the service. They're being used in the foyer and everywhere. I took a video a couple of weeks ago. It's a bit grainy footage. Apologies if it's not the best. But just, they can put it on the screen now, this video. It's just what it's like. So this was just a church. And there's, if you look up, there's extra brown seats there that we have to put in the middle. And there's people that stand in the hallway. And we're just running out of room in the second service. So it really is great things that are happening in our church there. And many lives are being changed by the power of God. I'm going to share just a few stories this morning as well. But we just thank you for your prayers, for your support, and also just for your financial giving as well, because you're a great, through your missions, it's really enabling us to do what we do as a church there. And we've got a great team of people, but part of that is you playing your part as well. So we'd love to just honor you and just thank you. So please give yourselves a round of applause. Well, I'm going to get straight into the message. Is that okay? The title of my message this morning is, it's titled, Dying to Change. Dying to Change. Now, I really should have worked it with Pastor Jordan better because he talked about the resurrection on our Friday and I'm talking about dying on Sunday. We've kind of flipped around a bit of the Easter story. We should have prepared a little bit better. So our apologies for that and if that's confusing this morning. But we're going to read from John chapter 12, verse 23 to 26 and it will come up on the screens. It says, Jesus replied, Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Three things we're going to learn from this scripture this morning that I believe Jesus was trying to teach us. Even today, 2024, Jesus is still trying to teach us through this scripture. Is the first one, he taught us that he must die before he could be glorified. He said that he had to die before he could be glorified. Secondly, he showed us that through it all, that God was in control. And the last thing he showed us was that his death had a purpose. So we're going to look at those three points today. I really pray and hope that God would speak to you through this message and you would feel something in your heart, maybe shift and change, and you would learn something from the Lord this morning. So can we pray together? Let's pray. So Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're with us, that you're for us, God. Lord, that you give us, Lord, instruction through your word and spiritual truth that we can learn even now, 2,000 years later, Father. And I just pray, God, that every person here, our hearts would be stirred and motivated to change, God. Lord, we don't want to stay how we are. We don't want to pretend like we know everything, God, but help us to humble ourselves and surrender and submit our will and our thoughts and our mind and our hearts and our lives to you. Lord, and I just pray for our church here, Lord, in Melbourne, in Hamburg, in Montreal, and in Zambia as well, Father. I just pray, Lord, that you would be with them and touch every life in our church this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone who believed that said, amen. Amen. So firstly, he teaches us that he must die before he can be glorified. What basically Jesus is teaching us in this scripture, I don't know, is anyone a wheat harvester in the place? Anyone wheat harvesting? Good, that's great, because if I say something wrong, you won't be able to correct me. That's good. But through my extensive research, which is just theoretical at the moment, what I've found is during the harvesting of wheat, what would happen is the seed of the wheat would have one of two options. The first option would be that it could either remain on the grain or it could just fall to the ground and just remain on top of the soil. That was option number one. Option number two would be as the wheat is harvested, the seed remains dead and buried in the ground. And essentially what Jesus is trying to teach us is that if the seed stays on top of the soil or stays connected to the wheat, that's essentially its lifespan done. Nothing else can come from that seed, and that seed is kind of done and finished. But if it dies and essentially is separated from its body and it remains buried in the ground and essentially receives proper nutrients and water and these sorts of things, if that seed stays like that, it has the potential to germinate and start to produce more and more and can produce a whole new harvest of wheat, even though it was dead and buried. And Jesus was referencing his own life. Basically, what he was saying here was if he stayed with the disciples on earth, he could only do so much. But if he was to die and essentially rise again, that seed of him dying and being dead and buried in the tomb, what would happen is he would have the potential to create a great new harvest of new lives, which is essentially you and me. So this is what Jesus is talking about. And I know Pastor Jared says this all the time, there's a spiritual truth in every scripture. And many times Jesus is trying to teach us truth from his word. And what he's trying to say here and what I believe is what I would love to share for us this morning is if you want to do anything with your life that's worthwhile in God's kingdom, you need to die. You need to die to self. you might have been thinking, oh, I was so excited for a great word this morning. And the pastor's telling me I need to die. What's going on here? But you can't be a true follower of Jesus and attempt to serve him on your own terms. You actually have to die to self. God calls all of us to lay down our lives and our prideful way of living and essentially embrace his way, which is sometimes counterintuitive to the culture. You know, we don't hear that you should give of your life and die to self so that you can grow forward and make an impact in the world. We're told to look after ourselves and protect ourselves and know everything and learn everything. And not that these things are bad, but we're told to have a vision and a dream and goals and have this plan for your life. But if you're a true believer, what we need to do is we need to die to self. These things can be good. I'm not saying don't have a dream, don't have a vision, don't have a 5-year plan for your life. I'm not saying that they're bad. But if they start to become in place of God, they can essentially become idols. And God is saying we need to die to those things and take up his will for our life. And if you're a true believer and you're dying, what I've found is that God will give you abundantly more than you can ever ask, think, or imagine. Essentially, I believe this scripture is trying to teach us to be full on for Jesus, because otherwise it won't work out well for you and you won't succeed. So essentially, maybe this is more of a warning this morning. Don't be half-hearted in your approach to God. If you're going to go for God, go for him with everything that you have. I gave my life to Jesus 22 years ago. 22 years ago this year in this church. I've never gone to another church. They can't get rid of me, okay? I'm just stuck here. You're stuck with me, right? I grew up in Heathridge, just the suburb down, 6027. That's my... I was born in Joondalup Hospital when it was called Wanneroo Hospital. Some of you are like, I didn't even know that, right? So I'm local as local can come, right? But what I found is when I made a decision to... I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but when the gospel was presented to me, I remember making a decision, I'm going to go full on for Jesus. I'm going to give him everything that I have. And it doesn't mean that your life will be perfect, but if you go full on for God, he will be full on for you. He will start to pour into your life and change you in a way, but it all happens with dying to self. You can't hold on to your old life and expect there to be change. Jesus said he needed to die before he could be glorified. You need to die to your old life, die to your own way of living so that you can walk into the great life that God has got for you. And I would encourage you, especially if you're not a Christian in this place this morning, maybe you're visiting for the first time or maybe you're kind of new to church. You're saying, well, what do I mean die? Do I have to really die? It's essentially a spiritual death. You have to say no to your spiritual life and say, hey, look, I've got to give away of this. You don't actually have to kill yourself. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But essentially, you have to say, my life means nothing in comparison to what God has got for me. So go after God and go after him with everything that you have. And the Bible says that we are to repent and turn from our old way of life. Repent doesn't mean like dabble in what you were doing and kind of look to Jesus. It's a 180 degree turn to say bye to your old way of living and go after God. And I would encourage all of us, we all need to do that. And when you do that, especially if you're not a believer in this room, if you do that with God this morning, he will turn your life around. He'll pick you up from the mess that you're in and he'll give you a brand new life. Amen? But it all starts, I'll go back to it again. It all starts with dying though. We have to die to self. The Bible says in this scripture, whoever loves his life will lose it. What I've found is many Christians, not just in Zambia, in Australia, all over the world, Christians are holding on to their own life, yet trying to cling to God as well. And it's not a very good look, and it's not, you're not ever going to succeed when you do that. In one of the main tribes in Zambia is the Bemba tribe, and it's most tribes would have their own language, and so in Bemba they speak Chibemba, which is just the language of the Bembas, right? So there's a saying in Bemba which is called Chimbwi Afwile Ntanganana. You're surprised that I could say that so well, right? Chimbwi, Afwile, and Tanganana. Essentially, what this means, Chimbwi is a hyena. And what this means is, it's actually Pastor Jared's favorite song. If he was here, I would have played it on the, he loves this song by Mag 44 and Pompey. But the Chimbwi is a hyena. Essentially, what this saying means is, if the hyena is eating in one place and he wants to eat in another place, and he sees one bit of food and he's trying to go for another bit of food, and essentially, if he splits himself in half, he won't eat at either, because he can't do that, right? You can't be here and try and be over there as well. Essentially, the saying in the song is talking about you can't serve two masters. You can't be half-hearted in your approach to what God has got for you. And you can't live one way and expect to go after God and live another way. And the Bible does say in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. And I talked about sharing testimonies, and there's a testimony of a guy in our church called Daniel. And last October, he reached out to the church through Facebook, and he was just detailing about how alcohol was ruining his life. And he was married, and it was ruining his marriage, ruining his job. And he basically, his wife had left him, and he was reaching out to church saying, I need help. I don't know what to do. And he'd been on and off at church for about half a year to a year or so, but never committed, never surrendered to Jesus, never said goodbye or died to his old life. And he came in for a meeting with me, and I sat down with him, and I heard his story, and he started to describe his situation. And his sister had passed away, and he'd turned back to alcohol, and he'd really, it was so sad. I was really listening to it, and I remember him leaving, and I stood with Pastor Lisa when he left, and I literally just cried. I was so sad about this guy and the story. And we prayed together in my office, and I just said, mate, you need to go 100% for Jesus right now. And as much as I said that, I could tell that he was dying to change. He'd had enough of where he was at. And what I've seen in Daniel over the last maybe 6 or 7 months is someone who's been fully committed to Jesus. He's given his whole life, and he's gone from this hyena trying to chase two things to being fully focused on living his life for God. And is his life perfect now? No. But he's back with his wife. They're serving in church together now. He hasn't touched alcohol in the last 7 months. And yes, there's going to be some challenges that are ahead, but what I've seen is he's gone full on for Jesus. And that's the best thing that you can do with your life. It started with him dying to himself and going after God. If you don't die to your old life, the Bible says you'll remain alone with small or no impact. But when you die to your dream, your vision, your calling, to the allurements of this world, and you say, God, you're in control, what God can do is great things through your life, and he can start to produce a great harvest in and through your life. Amen? The second thing that this story shows us is that God is in control. Could you imagine Jesus going to the cross and him, he says he sweat blood, and he was so stressed out about what was ahead. But he knew that this is what the plan was going to be. He knew that he would die, he would then be resurrected. And it's easy to say, oh yeah, he knew what was coming, but it was still tough to do it, right? It was still tough for him to go through because he had to die. Like, we make it sound like, it's easy for me to say, right? But I didn't actually have to do it. He had to go through death. And it didn't make it easy, but he had to go through it. And when we seek first, which is our theme for the year, when we seek first and when we die to self, what happens is God starts to take control. God starts to take control of our lives, and that's the best position we can be in. And I believe as we say to God, Lord, I will serve you and I'll give my life to you, I believe he starts to unfold his dream for your life and change you in the process. When we say, God, you're in control, he starts to change you from the inside out. And his dreams are so much better for you than you can come up with yourself. Like, I thought I had dreams for my life, but what I'm doing now is so much more better than what I could imagine for my own life. And if you allow God to do that, he will do so much greater things in your life than you could plan for yourself. But we have to make that decision to say, God, you're in control. We have to give of our lives to let God take the lead. John 12 in our scripture, verse 26 says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me. not lead me, but follow me. Jesus says, because my servants will be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. The problem I have with God taking control is it's quite humbling for us, right? I actually don't like being told what to do. Anyone else like that? I don't know if it's my wife likes telling me what to do. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's a spiritual gift all wives have. I'm not sure. Gosh, I'm on dangerous ground here, right? Move on, move on. But, it's great having a partner because they can tell you what you're not very good at and they can help you get better, right? Come on. And it's mostly one way. Lisa doesn't have to change anything. She's perfect as she is. But it's actually humbling for us to not have it all together. I actually don't like that, right? Like, oh, I need to change here. I need to be better there. And, oh, like we live in a world where you're supposed to have it all together. Like I say, you got your 5-year plan. You've studied. You know what you're doing. And yes, these things are good. But in the Bible, it talks very much about us surrendering to God and submitting to God. It talks about submitting again. Even if you've been a Christian for a long time, what can start to happen is you can actually start to think you're okay and you don't need to submit to God and you're good as you are and you've got it all together and you know the Bible and you know God and you've heard the preaching before and you know what Pastor Jordan's talking about and you've already conquered that. And, you know, this is what can start to happen. You can start to think that you're okay and you don't need to change. We all need to change. We all need to continually surrender. Now, at the start, you might change more. But in the end, what can happen is if you get comfortable, you can then start to stray away and you don't even know that you've strayed. So we need to always surrender. And I think this is so important. Like I said, in marriage and in Zambia, there's been, I think last year was 36,000 divorces in Zambia. In a Christian nation, 36,000 divorces. And what that taught me was people aren't willing to change. People aren't willing to humble themselves and essentially let God take control. Now, not all of those, I'm not saying all divorces are bad. Sometimes there's things happen. But essentially what I've found is most people don't want to change. They don't want to surrender. They don't want to submit. The Bible talks about surrender to one another and submit to one another out of love and out of reverence for Christ. And what I find is marriages, our lives, our jobs, our careers. Many times we think we've got it all together and we don't want to change. But we need to submit and surrender to God and humble ourselves and let God take control. This is what Jesus did in the story. He humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. And what happened is God took control. And that's what we have to do as believers. He's saying, die to self and let God take control of your life. And I've got another story, if that's okay. There's a girl in our church called Lenny, and she came to our church early last year, 2023. She was her first time in church. She was invited by a friend, and she responded the very first week that she came and seemed like this was going to be this amazing story. And we chatted to her after church, and I remember meeting her in the foyer and hearing a bit of her story, and it was like, wow, this is such an amazing salvation story, and we were so excited. And what I saw over the next few months was Lenny was just a bit in and out of church. She didn't come for a while and then she'd be there and then she'd go and I'd be telling the guys, where's Lenny? Where's Lenny? I thought her name was pretty cool as well. It was easy for me to say, not like some other Zambian names. I liked saying Lenny. It was quite easy to say, but I was like, come on, like where's Lenny? And what we saw is just her being a little bit inconsistent in church. And probably, as I look back now, she just probably wasn't letting God take control. Holding on to her life, and she was quite into yoga and these spiritual practices, which she said, and she had a big following on Instagram and these things, and we didn't know this, and then there came a point at the start of this year where everything kind of seemed to change. We end of last year, start of this year, she was full on in church. You could see there was something different about her. And she came in from a meeting with Pastor Lisa and they both were in tears the whole time. It was so powerful. And basically what she said was she started to pray and she felt like God said to her, seek first. Seek me first, Lenny. And she didn't know what that meant. She didn't know it was a scripture. She had no idea. She came to Vision Sunday and she heard Pastor Jared on the and Pastor Easter and I talking. She heard on the screens, "Seek first" is the theme for this year. She's, "Oh my gosh, how do they know? What are they?" And what she did is she made a decision to burn everything. She burned all of her yoga books. She deleted her Instagram account. She threw everything away. She says, "I'm going full on for God. And I'm gonna humble myself." She might not have said that, but that's what she did. And she went, she gave her life to Jesus. And she really said, "No, I'm going for Him." And what we've seen is this joy come into her life where she was quite depressed and there was this heaviness on her. She's joyful. She's a part of the team now. She's in a connect group. You can tell that she's flourishing from the inside out. She's starting to change. Why? Because she let God take control. And I would encourage all of us to do these things, to die to self, to let God take control. And my last point is this. Jesus showed us that His death had a purpose. The worship team can come out and help me. I'm about to wrap up. But like we said at the start, a seed will never become a plant unless it dies and is buried. A seed never has the chance to become a beautiful plant or a tree or a flower if it doesn't die and is buried. And the same with Jesus. His death and His burial was necessary to allow, like I said at the start, to allow us to be part of His harvest. The Bible said that many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives would come through His death. That's you and I. For the last 2,000 years, there's been a harvest after harvest after harvest of new lives. Our lives have been included in this credible story of salvation through one man's death. And Jesus gave His life so that you and I could live this incredible journey and spend eternity with Jesus if we die to ourselves and give of our life to God. And this teaching that Jesus gave us, like I said, is for all of us. He asked you and I to become dead and buried. Why? Because if we want to enjoy the riches of heaven and live this incredible life that He's got for us, we need to also, Pastor Jordan said it on Friday, we need to die to our old life and die to ourselves. If we want to enjoy that, we need to join in with Him in His death. And many times that's dying to dreams, dying to things that are good but not of God. Dying to things that seem good. I've seen so many people go after a job because they believed for it, but it was the very thing that was going to take them out of church. And if they died to that and say, "God, I give that to You," like the woman who smashed the alabaster jar and it was a costly sacrifice, if you can give that to God, He can always bring something even greater from Him for your life. And I remember having this moment where Pastor Easter and I were believing God for great things, and we'd just built our house in Bankshire Grove, and we had felt God was saying that He was calling us to something new. And I just remember we both had that. She came to me in the kitchen, she said, "I feel like God's moving us into something new." I said, "I felt the exact same thing this week." And so we remember just sitting on that, and I remember in this moment, I wasn't trying to go after it, but I was in this car ride with Pastor Jared. We were on a pastor's retreat. We're coming back from down south. And I remember asking him, saying, "Pastor Jared, do you ever see Lisa and I church planting?" And when I said that, I just meant for us to go and be a part of a, like, help on a church plant, right? And I believe, and he said, "Oh, where do you think you would go?" I said, "Well, we love Africa." We'd been there for the church opening in Zambia. And Pastor Jared said to me, "Oh, no, I don't really see that." I built up the nerve to ask him. And then he just said, "No," but what he was meaning was he couldn't see anything right then and there. There was no church plants on the horizon just yet. Nothing was really changing at that point. So he wasn't saying no, but he was just saying not yet. I took it as a no. He said no. And so what I did was I got home and I was like, "Oh, why did I ask him? Why did I do that?" But I said, if he says no, because I wanted to know what my senior pastor thought. If he's my pastor, I wanted to get his thoughts, because I could have been going on something which I thought was good, but I wanted to make sure that he saw that for me as well. This accountability, and I was serving him as much as I'm serving God, I'm serving the person that God put in front of me. So I asked Pastor Jared, and he said no. And so what I had to do was I had to die. And it wasn't this external thing of, guys, I asked Pastor Jared and he said no, so I'm dying. So I died to that. Pastor Jared, I died to that. It was an internal dying. I said, okay, God, if that's not what it is, then I'll give that to you. I didn't get angry and take the pulpit. All right, I'm off. That's it. I'm out. I'll find another church. No, I said, God, I'll die to that. I'll give that to you. And I'll trust that you've got the right way for me. And Lisa and I made that decision. And usually I've seen that takes years for that to then come about. It was like 2 months later, Pastor Spencer called me and was like, hey, can I talk to you quickly? We're at the back of church one Sunday. It's probably not the way to go about it, right? He's like, how would you feel about moving to Zambia? I was like, oh, to help? No, to lead the church. I was like, oh. And this is where I had to die again, right? Lisa and I only wanted to go and help. I didn't want to lead. I didn't want to preach every week. I just wanted to play drums and run a connect group. They were the things I was good at, right? I didn't want to lead. But again, what did I have to do? I had to die again. I had to say, Lord, I'll give that to you. And I remember Pastor Sue came over in 2018. I said, Pastor, I'm not the right person for this. I said, I just wanted to help. I didn't want to lead. She says, if you weren't leading, you wouldn't be helping. I had to die again. Oh. And again, it's an internal journey. What I found is sometimes a lot of believers, we're Christians, we're great at independence. Great at doing our own thing and hearing something from God, and we don't actually want to serve the person in front of us who we might not like, or we think we could do it a better way, or that. And Jesus is saying, no, die. I've got an even better purpose for you. And if you can die and serve the person in front of you, and it's not, I say dying, it's sometimes not that hard. We just got to get over ourselves, right? I've just got to say, look, I'm not in control. God, you're in control. And if this is what's helping, I'll do that with the best of my ability. And I would love us to have a church where we just are dying to self and we're saying, God, you're in control. And I'm going to love the person that you've got in front of me. And I'm going to give my life to build your house. Many of us, we don't understand submission and surrender to God and others. God wants us to surrender our lives and give of our lives to build his kingdom. And I would encourage all of us to die, to let God take control, and to know that there's a great purpose when we surrender our lives to him. The Christian life is an internal journey. It's internal submission. It's internal change. It's internal choice to do his will. It's not the external. Like, we might look like we're doing the external thing now. Oh, he's the pastor from Zambia and this and that. I'm just a kid from Heathridge who decided to die and change. And I haven't been perfect. Pastor Jared and Sue can tell you that. I'm not perfect. None of us are. Only Jesus is perfect. But we're to die to self, to surrender our lives and let God take control.
Thank you so much for joining us online today. Really great to have you with us, and special thanks to those also who give online. Your generosity is making the way for others to hear the message of Jesus both here in Australia and around the world. If you enjoyed today's message, I'd love to encourage you to share this message with a friend, a workmate, a family member, and let's believe together that it will powerfully impact their life for good in Jesus' name. If you're unable to be with us at one of our church locations, both here in Australia and around the world, please join us online every Sunday for Global Heart at Home on YouTube. God bless and have a great week.